Grand Pally Podcast, ALCS edition. Hooray! I say it tentatively because we are doing this after the first two games, which the Yankees, lost both in Houston. So, my friend Kunj and I over there, how you doing?
Grumble, 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 grumble.
Yeah, that's essentially the podcast. So, good catching up. We'll talk to you later.
That's it. We're done.
Yeah. I mean, we should say it's been a minute since we podcasted. We're supposed to podcast after the end of the division series, but because of all the rain that pushed it to Tuesday, and then we ended up having we couldn't come together for an immediate podcast time after that because of travel and work stuff. So we didn't end up having to do a division series wrap up, which is probably too bad because that would have been a lot more sunny than this one will be.
That would have at least been a fun podcast.
Yeah, because like the Yankees, you know, let's be clear, they also struggled to hit in the division series, 182, 273, 370. Not what you want, but they still won the series anyway over the Guardians.
Yay! And now we're here.
The moments were good. We should just briefly go over that a little bit, just because that was a playoff series featuring the New York Yankees, you know? They did a good job coming back from that absolutely miserable Game 3 where they collapsed in the ninth inning. I was watching at a bar and wanted to eat my own face in shame. So.
Yeah, I know we should talk about the Yankees, but I'm very curious on the logistics of eating one's own face. But maybe we shouldn't talk about that here.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe not.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was an overall good, fun series, I guess, if not still frustrating. There were definitely some choices and decisions made during the division series, and that's obviously lingered on into the ALCS, which we'll talk about in a bit. But ultimately, you know, coming out and winning that series, maybe taking a game or two longer than people expected. But again, you're still facing a solid Major League Baseball team. So it's not like you could just expect to sweep them in three games and, you know, anything less than that is bad. Ultimately, they still came out of it thanks to Gerrit Cole just shoving in game four.
Yeah, and, like, he basically won that playoff series. It's like him and Wandy Peralta, you know, because Wandy Peralta pitched all five games.
Yeah, that's just incredible. I mean, I think the first player in division series history or something like that. Or at least in...
Yep, that's true. That was the fact that I was going around. Wandy shoved. He was great. And Gerrit Cole did what an ace like Gerrit Cole is supposed to do. He dominated in game one, came back with the season on the line in game four, and dominated again. And then they were able to win at home in game five because Cleveland decided to start Aaron Civale for some reason. Giancarlo Stanton threw in home run in the first. That's the ball game, you know.
Yeah.
Because Nestor Cortez, just got out on 3 days rest, showed up five great innings. Then the bullpen took over, and that was that.
Yeah, the funny thing about Gerrit Cole, so he started on Sunday for game four, and then game five of the ALDS was supposed to be Monday, but obviously that got rained out. But even on Monday, after throwing 110 pitches in game four, he's like, I'm ready to go, Boone, put me in.
Yeah.
And I was like, maybe we don't do it literally immediately the next day.
Yeah, but, yeah, like that's like some, that might only happen in, like, you know, game seven of the World Series, but not like this. And even then, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But he did warm up in a relief in game five when they actually put it back another day because of the rain. So he was ready to come in if Wandy Peralta, I think, even put on like another base runner.
Yeah, that would have been interesting to see, but ultimately didn't need him. Wandy was doing Wandy things. And,
Wandy Peralta is just the closer now, I guess, or some sort of versatile relief weapon, but he's cool.
Yeah. Between Wandy Peralta, I think it's like Wandy and Clay Holmes are like sharing closer duties while Loaisiga is just like, hey, I'm just going to keep pitching to the heart of the order and coming in whenever you need.
Yeah, and honestly, that's the right way to do it. So
100%.
Yeah. Yeah, for so in that regard, we haven't had a ton to criticize in terms of bullpen management, but we do have other things to criticize in terms of bullpen management. Like for one, the game three loss was partially because Clay Holmes was not pitching, even though he thought he was going to be available, but there's complete miscommunication, or Boone just wanted him to think that he would be ready in case of emergency, and that's it. But it did not seem to amuse the clubhouse.
Yeah, no, that's definitely like just a weird thing where like he was available if it went to extras because that would be considered an emergency situation, but the ninth inning in a save situation is not an emergency situation. I don't know.
Yeah, ninth inning where the Yankees are collapsing and having to put Clark Schmidt out there, and yeah, no.
Yeah.
And
Again.
that's the first me that was the first notable bullpen question mark. The other one was in game one of the ALCS. We're just gonna jump ahead to the next round when the first people out of the bullpen to help Jameson Taillon were Clark Schmidt. And after Lou Trevino cleaned up his mess after the back-to-back home runs, Trevino only made seven pitches, and then he was replaced with Frankie Montas, who gave him a home run like immediately. So, like,
Yeah.
okay.
And like it's the issue I think we've talked about in the Slack, and I think you agree you're going to agree with what I'm about to say. The issue isn't so much even using Schmidt and Montas.
Sure.
It's that if you're bringing Trevino in, use him for more. Like
Yeah, like
leverage him a little longer.
they're not really maximizing him, and I don't really get it. I don't know if they're trying to hide an injury or something. He can really only do a couple batters, or they only want him to do a few pitches so that he can quickly come back the next day. But I think you got to manage for today in that instance. Like Schmidt was able to get that double play ball that he needed, so the move looked good at first, but then Schmidt came right back out for the next inning and got smoked for back-to-back home runs by Yuli Gurriel and Chaz McCormick, and that was basically the ball game. I mean, obviously the insurance run on the solo homer off Montas by Pena, I think, put them up 4-2 or 4-1 at the time. Then Rizzo got them within 4-2, but I mean that was the game.
Yeah, and that's the big like. There's issues outside of the bullpen management as well, like with the lineup and the
Oh,
offense,
sure.
like
Yeah.
with Boone and stuff. Like, so we'll get to that again. But the biggest issue with the bullpen management seems to be the like conceding or playing for tomorrow or just like not having a sense of urgency. Like these decisions, if he makes them in a like random stretch in like July or June or whatever, you kind of just get like slightly annoyed by it and you're just like whatever. But these decisions are the ones that'll come back and bite you in the ass right now and. There may not be a next week of games. So
Yeah.
you can't play for tomorrow and stuff like that when you don't know if that's gonna happen. In July, you know there's gonna be a next series. You still have, whatever amount of games left. You don't have that in October. You don't have that luxury. And I understand being a little hesitant in like kind of going back to the ALDS for a quick second with like the Clay Holmes usage just because he's just coming back from the injury and stuff like that. But again, if he's available in an emergency situation, what the hell else is an emergency besides, hey, we need to win this game? You're in October, you're in the playoffs. I understand it's a 5-game series and you still technically had four games 4 and 5 there, but you maybe don't have to get to game, even pitch game 5. And then maybe things are a little bit different for the CS if you try and win game 3. You don't go there and be like, hey, we still have two other games we could win. And yeah, it happened to work out, but what if it didn't? You
Yeah, it
play
was
for today.
getting a little bit too cute, you know? And it seemed like there was just a little bit of frustration in the bullpen just in terms of like roles and what's going on.
Yeah.
But whatever. As you said, like the struggles this postseason have ultimately come down to the offense not doing enough.
Right.
It's really frustrating to see the lineup fall apart this way. And obviously there are some holes that we can point out, but even like the big names are not doing enough. You know, like the Guardians and the Astros have done a pretty good job of pitching to Judge. And so he's only had like five hits in the postseason. One of them, or two of them went out, excuse me, in the DS.
Yep.
And he made really good contact, obviously, on his last fly ball that may have gone out in other situations against in the eighth inning last night with Kyle Tucker catching the ball and right. But still, both teams have done a good job of shutting him down. Stanton has been kept mostly at bay. Gleyber Torres has only like three or four hits in the postseason. So when those guys are not doing much, then yeah, you're going to be exposed by the Josh Donaldsons, the Isaiah Kiner-Falefas, the second half Jose Trevinos of the world. It's a bad recipe, and they're just not hitting at all, and that is an extreme concern.
Yeah, I think like Anthony Rizzo is the only one who's been like decent, but yeah, there's still
even
a lot
him is just like
and,
you know,
like, and it's like it's just compared to how bad everyone else has been. I don't think he's been good necessarily.
He's been okay. Yeah, because like he's 1-for-6 in the CS. He was 5-for-17 in the DS, which is better, and that was 958 OPS. So that was good, but he's kind of shut down again. And Harrison Bader has the 4 home runs, which is really funny, but that's about it.
Yeah.
And then you look at like Matt Carpenter, who just has looked rusty as all hell, 7 strikeouts and 7 plate appearances. And like, I don't blame them for trying to get him in there because he was such a big weapon, but it hasn't looked pretty. And the problem is that like, what's the alternative right now, you know?
There is no alternative. And I still think you try and figure out a way to get him in there just to see.
And I think they did that in game one by putting Stanton in front of the Crawford boxes for left field. And that was okay. But yeah, it's just, it's tough.
Yeah. And there's really not many better solutions. I mean, I was going to say like in games 4 and 5 of the ALDS, they kind of finally admitted like IKF shouldn't be the starting shortstop. And let Oswaldo Cabrera start there. But then in game one of the ALCS, IKF was back starting again, even though they actually rostered Oswald Peraza after Aaron Hicks went down with an injury and, you know, his season and possibly Yankees career is over. But we'll talk about that again in a little bit. But so you have Oswald Peraza, and IKF wasn't good enough to start in 2 elimination games, but then game one of the ALCS, that's like another part where it's just like, are you just throwing this game away? Or are you just okay with losing it? Where you're starting IKF there, but
I guess the idea maybe is that he didn't want like Peraza, the rookie, facing like a guy who's probably going to win the Cy Young and Verlander. And if he's just like whatever, then he's putting IKF out there. But obviously Peraza, I think, is the better defensive player, so just play him. I don't even know if it's just like them giving it away of just like we want to do this in this game. And it didn't work out. And I worry IKF will return to the lineup in game 3 and 4 and maybe 5. But again, like someone's going to hit, and I don't know what to do about it.
You'll never convince me that there's any sort of strategy that you can come up with where IKF should be starting over Peraza right now.
No, that was more just like me trying to figure something out.
Yeah. And maybe you put him in at third over Josh Donaldson, like IKF I'm talking about, and like that I can kind of squint and see maybe working, because Josh Donaldson's also just looked really, really, really bad. And with IKF, you maybe just hope he like rolls something past past like a diving Jeter and, gets something going, whereas Donaldson just looks lost and swinging at, you know, garbage pitches that I would throw from the mound that
and
wouldn't
taking
even reach
pitches
home plate.
Taking pitches down the pipe and then, you know, swinging at the garbage. It's a great combination.
That seems to be like a team-wide issue too, like where just like there's pitches down the plate with not just Josh Donaldson, but every batter, and you just see them just staring at it like, what are you guys looking for here? Like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah. So it's an extremely frustrating situation because you don't know who is going to step up and actually get a hit when everyone is ice cold, especially now in the CS. And, you know, part of that obviously is a credit to the Guardians and Astros pitching, which are both among the best in baseball this year. I think the Astros probably were the best, honestly. So yeah, they are very good at baseball. They are probably going to be good at keeping you from not hitting the baseball. But at the same time, like it's pretty maddening to watch this team just like fold.
Yeah. And if you're going to insist on playing Josh Donaldson, he cannot be where he is in the lineup. Like, he needs to hit eighth. Because
He's moving up though. That's the thing. Like Kyle
honestly,
Higashioka was hitting seventh yesterday. It's like, oh God.
I put like Oswald and Oswaldo up there and you'll figure it out or something. Because at least with them, you hope for at least maybe some potential contact or something that might be able to just drive something in. But like, and
Maybe. I mean, Oswaldo struck out 10 times in the postseason.
I just, I like his face better.
Yeah, I mean that's what it comes down to, right? It's just like
That's just what it is.
yeah.
I think I'd rather lose with somebody I like going down than somebody I don't, than just flailing. And I'm tired of Josh Donaldson's face. That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, and who could blame you? I look forward to the day that the Yankees eat whatever is left on that contract and get rid of him, but
Hopefully that day is today,
yeah.
and they do. I don't know the logistics and the playoff rules and how it works, but like, can the Yankees just cut him?
Josh Donaldson abdicates Miami challenge.
Yeah. I know you can bring somebody back onto the roster if like you put like you if somebody goes down with an injury, but like I don't and I doubt that this ever has ever happened, and maybe it has, but like if you, what if you just like suspend somebody yourself? Like I understand if MLB suspends a player during the playoffs, like they're probably gonna play a man short, but what if like the team's just like Josh Donaldson was been suspended for conduct detrimental to the team, and the conduct was just being bad at baseball?
I don't think they can do that. Actually, there was a thing in the 70s where the A's owner tried to like fire his second baseman because he made a bunch of errors in a game, and the players' association was like, "No, no, 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 no," or at least not in the middle of the playoff series.
Yeah, I still think they should explore that option.
Yeah, it's like, just push the envelope. It's whatever.
Look, you started getting good vibes going when you left Chapman off the roster. You got to continue and go full into the good vibes and leave Donaldson off the roster. But yeah, this all comes back to it's easy to criticize, but we don't really have a solution. Like, yeah, I'm talking about like Donaldson needs to hit eighth, and that's just because I don't like his face. But like to your point, who do you put there instead that's gonna actually inspire some confidence? I'm not talking logically here. I'm just talking about whose face I like better, and that's the best I have here. That's the best solution is like, hey, let's rank their faces and make that the lineup.
Yeah, no, it's as simple enough as like if you shut down Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Gleyber Torres, and pretty much all the Yankees' good hitters, yeah, you're probably going to win the playoff series. So
Yeah.
if
And
the Yankees don't come alive at Yankee Stadium, then well, their season's over, and it's as simple as that.
this is kind of like the August stretch here now, where if Judge doesn't do anything, this team's not winning. And that's kind of where we are at this point, where Judge needs to kind of go off in order for the Yankees to have any shot.
Yeah, well,
That's
he needs to
kind of
go
where I
off. He needs to go off and have someone else supporting him too, because they also lost a bunch of those games in August when he was trying to keep them afloat by himself, but there was literally no one else out there.
See, you're talking about winning games. I'm talking about just having a chance at winning
Yes,
games.
that's fair. That's fair.
I haven't even reached winning games yet.
Yeah.
We're
And
just.
with, but I should say also, what's most maddening is that they've done this while keeping Jose Altuve hitless for the postseason and Yordan Alvarez with just one hit. Like, they've been doing their job against the Astros, best hitters, minus Alex Bregman, and then randomly the bottom of the lineup.
Yeah, and I think that's my biggest issue too, right? Is the pitching has been like you again question a couple moves from Boone or whatever, but overall the pitching's been very good. Even like Frankie Montas gave up the homer, but I think Jake brought it up in our Slack where like overall he didn't look bad. He
Yeah,
kind of looked
actually,
like who the
John's doing
Yankees.
an article about that today where, after the home run, which is very easy for it to stick out in everyone's minds and be frustrating because it was the first pitch, so it was like an immediately knife punch. But
Yeah.
after that, he looked pretty good against the heart of the lineup.
Exactly. But I think my biggest issue right now or frustration is that, and I'm not knocking on the Astros, so all you Astros fans who definitely listen to the Pinstripe Alley podcast on a weekly basis, like relax for a second. I'm not saying that this is not a very good team, and I'm not saying that this isn't the best team remaining in the playoffs, because yeah, they are probably. They're the most complete team, they're the best team remaining, and they're a very good team. But they haven't been unbeatable in these playoffs. And this is coming off of, yeah, they swept Seattle, but even Seattle, I felt like, showed that the Astros can lose, even though they just didn't, because you decide to go to Robbie Ray in game one after you scored 7 runs off of Justin Verlander, and those are some choices there too. But yeah, I don't know. This Astros team feels beatable, and the Yankees just aren't doing it, at least to me.
It's like a fine line, because I do agree I think this is actually the best Astros team that the Yankees have played in like the 7 years. I think they're better than in 17, 19, 21, just because their pitching is so dominant. But yeah, I think that they've shown some cracks, and unfortunately, first the Mariners and now the Yankees have not been able to get the decisive blow to put them on top and get the win. And that's a credit to the Astros, like late game management. They've great relief pitching that will just stifle you. Certainly stifled the Mariners, and has done a good job stifling the Yankees so far, except for the Rizzo home run. So it's just they're letting them get away with not playing at 100%.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it comes down to just the fact that Altuve is struggling, and that man has given me nightmares for the last like 6 years of my life. But you gotta do something. I don't know what it is, but something needs to happen. Like, obviously, time's running out. You're down 2 games in the series, but hopefully, once they get to the stadium, they're back in the Bronx now for Game 3. They're gonna have Gerrit Cole on the mound. This is your chance.
Yeah. It's funny because it's like, okay, well, I feel pretty good about Cole and Nestor going games 3 and 4. It's like, yeah, I mean, I do too, but the pitching has not been the problem, really. So they've got to wake up the bats, and I don't know exactly how you wake up the bats at this point. I think you just probably have to play your best 9 hitters and hope that they don't like look as bad as they have for most of the postseason. I think that means also, yeah, I agree. Keeping IKF out of there, unless you're trying him at third base and putting Donaldson on the bench. But even I don't know. It's extremely frustrating.
Yeah, and I could very easily see like a 2017 type situation happening again, where they win every game at home.
Sure.
And they're up 3-2 in the series going back to Houston. But then I still don't feel good, because it's easy to say, yeah, you just need to win one game in Houston. But apparently that's the most impossible thing in the world. And I brought this quote up in our Slack a few times, but like Aaron Boone, after they got swept in Houston earlier during the regular season, was like, yeah, if we play here in October, we're going to show up. Yeah, you haven't yet.
No, not really.
You haven't yet, my guy.
Yeah, and I look forward to more of Aaron Boone in 2023, I'm sure. So
Yeah,
we'll take an ad break, do a breather, and we'll be right back. And we're back. And, actually, one thing I will ask you about: what have you thought of the very weird, kind of beautifully odd National League Championship Series with the Padres and the Phillies?
Oh, yes. We should talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
I am not surprised in the least, because those were my two picks out of the before the NLDS started. I nailed Padres in 4, I will have everyone know, because I am a brain genius.
Yeah.
I am a brain genius. I had Phillies in 5, but they even won up me. But yeah, no, I think it's fun. I think it's pure chaos energy, because who the hell expected this? And I hope the Padres kind of, I hope it goes 7 games, because it's just a fun series, and fun series that don't involve the Yankees should always go 7 series.
Yeah.
7 games, excuse me. So I hope it goes 7 games. But I had the Yankees and the Padres as my preseason World Series pick. So if the Padres could at least prove me right on one side, I'll at least feel a little bit happy.
Yeah, no, it's pretty hilarious to see. The Dodgers, the Mets, the Braves, they're all at home. They all won 100 games, but they're all at home because these teams upset them. Like, Padres knocked off the Mets, then they knocked off the 111-win Dodgers in 4 games, which is pretty preposterous, but you know, baseball. And then the Phillies did the same thing to the Braves after knocking off the Cardinals pretty easily as well. So, wow, you know, you didn't expect to get to this point, but you feel pretty good about the Phillies starting pitching. Maybe they can get them over the top. Obviously, Nola did not follow up Wheeler's good start in game one. Wheeler was absolutely dominant. That was
He
pretty
was.
crazy. Yeah. But the series is tied heading back to Philly. And I agree. I'm looking forward to this hopefully being a long series. And hopefully, whoever comes out of that can beat the Astros, who will probably come out of the American League.
Nope.
Yep.
They're doing it. The Yankees are doing it. They're going to
Yep.
start hitting today, even though they don't play today.
They're going to have a really good batting practice.
Can batting practice home runs count for the Yankees only?
Speaking of batting practice home runs, Kyle Schwarber, that was.
Yeah, that was a batting practice home
Oh,
run.
yeah. Apparently, like people with the Padres are saying, like, they don't know if they've ever seen that in batting practice. Like, there was a home run derby there, too, and I don't think anyone reached that second deck.
That was the one Giancarlo won, right?
Yeah, it was.
The San Diego one, yeah.
Yeah. And I think they're saying, like, the secret is, like, you know, in home run derbies, you're not getting the pitches thrown as hard. So you're not going. So, in some degrees, you're not going to hit it as far, even if they're fat pitches. But, like,
They
that had the velocity behind it to go, whew!
only haven't seen it because Aaron Judge didn't participate.
That's true. He was not quite in the majors yet.
Yeah,
He still had yet to break the physics of Marlins Park.
yes, which he did, and so I truly believe if he goes to Petco, he'll do something crazy there too for a home run. But anyway, yeah, no, go Dads. I think it's a fun series. What I like about these two teams is they were clearly, the forgotten child of both of their divisions, but they went out and made like actual impactful trades. I mean, obviously Juan Soto hasn't hit like Juan Soto, but he's still been solid. The Josh Hader trade, like, Hader was struggling in Milwaukee, and I think in the initially in with once he got to San Diego, he's continued to struggle. But since he kind of turned it around, like since September, he's been just phenomenal,
Oh,
like
yeah, no one can
pitching
hit
like
him.
Josh Hader again. And that's what you kind of do at the trade deadline. And I don't, I think, I forgot where I saw somebody kind of point this out where, like, yeah, their overall season records are like a little bit underwhelming compared to the teams they beat. But if you think about what they've done since the trade deadline and like adding the talent that they added, they're probably true talent level is a little bit higher than what their overall record is because, hey, they added players to that and that's what brought them into the postseason. And now they're the two teams like fighting for to a spot in the World Series.
Yeah, like this is they're two teams that are a little random, but they have a lot of star power on there that makes this really fun to watch. You got your Bryce Harpers, you got your Manny Machados, you got your Juan Sotos, got Yu Darvish, Kyle Schwarber, lots of great players on both teams. So, you know, whoever makes it out, they'll be fun to watch in the World Series. I think it would be cool to see Bryce Harper finally in a World Series. Would think, I mean, I think it'd be cool just to see the Padres in the World Series too, just because that's such a novelty because they've only been a couple times ever. Obviously, the Phillies were when we were like in college and they lost to the Yankees, you may
2009.
remember.
They did win in 08.
Yeah, they did win in 08. Yeah, that's true. They beat the Rays. Then for that, I was appreciative.
I was. And then I was appreciative of them losing to the
Yes, good sports, good sports. But go NLCS. Hopefully the Yankees will meet the winner. I don't know if they will.
I'm just going to grumble and groan again about one more thing as it relates to the NLCS and the Yankees. It's kind of very annoying as a Yankees fan that Manny Machado and Bryce Harper are both on those teams.
Yeah, well. I can't imagine that Yankees fans would have been super impressed with Bryce Harper needing to DH most of the season anyway. I mean, that's not to say that like they shouldn't have signed him, but I mean, yeah, that's a fact of life.
No, but Yankees fans also booed Aaron Judge in the ALDS, and Yankees fans booed Giancarlo Stanton. So, like, I don't care about them. I care about me.
Yeah. I'm looking out for number one.
Exactly.
All right. All right. So on that note, let's close out with our Yankee and Manfred of the week. Who is your Yankee of the week?
I'm going to go with Wandy Peralta.
That's fair.
The dude's just awesome.
Yeah. Every time they've called on him, he's been money. Obviously, like, he started to tire a little bit in that game three comeback by Cleveland, but he's been so good.
Yeah. And like, he hasn't really missed a beat, you know, he's coming off from an injury. Like, he missed a part of the end of the regular season there, but you know, he's been just as good as ever.
You'd never know.
Absolutely just clutch. And I think you put this in our Slack, like, you could just pluck him out of a couch in the middle of January and he'd slowly be able to give you a solid inning or two. And yeah, Wandy Peralta, the dude's just awesome. I think there have been maybe like better overall individual performances in the past week, like, you know, but this is, it's just been too important to the Yankees what he provides. So Wandy Peralta, your thing.
That's a good pick. I will go with Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole has done his job as the Yankees ace, dominated his two starts against Cleveland in the division series. He is the reason that they are still playing. So I guess maybe I should make him Manfred of the week then, because then I would be free. But then also we would be dealing with the Gerrit Cole sucks narratives. And obviously he does not suck. He is very good at pitching. So,
yeah. I'm glad he's done a little, not a little, a lot to, you know, fix his reputation from last year, because
when he was definitely pitching hurt too.
He was definitely 100% hurt. And I'm also happy that while he's continued his obligatory home run streak, he hasn't completely collapsed in the playoffs.
Solos.
Yet,
so, keep it to solos, yeah, man.
Keep it to solos. Keep maybe the Billy Crystal curse is finally winding down, and maybe tomorrow he'll give up no home runs.
Yeah. Yeah, I just worry that he's going to, like, you know, give up maybe a couple solo home runs and then the Yankees lose like 2-1 because they're not scoring worth anything right now. And then people are like, oh, Gerrit Cole, he blew it. It's like, oh, no, it's the offense game.
No, not at all. I'll also give just an honorable mention to Harrison Babe Ruth Bader.
Whereas I've been calling him on Twitter Harrison Bernie Williams Bader with the center field.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, dude leading the Yankees in home runs because, of course, he is.
Why not?
After hitting none since the trade deadline, obviously he missed some time, but hitting none as a Yankee in the regular season, I guess, is a better way to put it. And yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he only had five with the Cardinals before he was traded and injured, and now he has like four in the span of like a couple weeks.
Harrison Bader, you need to step up.
Yeah.
If the Yankees are going to go anywhere. All right.
More home runs.
I need him to break his regular season total this postseason.
Yeah. It'd be a good bit. And if anything, just amuse me with good bits.
Aaron Judge, if you also want to break your regular season home run total during this postseason, I will not complain.
There's the challenge.
Yeah. Maybe you can get to 74 if we include the playoffs.
Okay, so who is your Manfred of the week?
Josh Donaldson. Go away. I don't like your face.
Yeah, it ain't great. I'm just going to make mine Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. I'm punching down, I know, and he's lost most of his starts. He might start again, who knows, but it's just because we have not podcasted since before the division series. What a nightmare. I mean, he made like some pretty bad fielding mistakes, and was pretty punchless at the plate again. And it's just, congratulations, man. Yankees, this is your stopgap. This is what you've chosen. I hope you're happy with your decisions.
Yeah. Again, hopefully, you know, by rostering Peraza and starting him in game two, hopefully the Yankees continue to do the right thing. And, you know, maybe they maybe still ultimately lose. Maybe Peraza looks a little overwhelmed, you know, in the playoffs, even though, you know,
it's a tough spot to drop him into. But 100%. They don't have the alternatives.
You just got to roll the dice with them. Like, I think we talked about, like, even if the Yankees were kind of just trying to hide Peraza a little bit to try and use him as trade bait because maybe they don't feel too confident about him, like, you're not going to lose much value by, like, a rough postseason series just because their first one and whatever. But, you just got to roll the dice with Peraza and go with it.
Yeah, I worry that they're going to be like, oh, he looked overmatched. Let's get IKF back in there for game three. Yeah. But
that's not what we can do.
Yeah, that ain't it. Please, no more IKF after this year, or now.
The only person IKF should be taking starts from right now is Josh Johnson. And even that's like a whatever. I don't care. I don't like either of their faces.
Yeah. Bleak. Yeah. At least IKF seems like a good guy. That is all we will say.
Yeah. Yeah. No, IKF seems like a fine person. He doesn't bring bad vibes. He's just annoying.
Yeah. And like, I felt bad for him after like the mistakes in the division series, because you could see in like his post game interviews that he was just crushed about it. But like,
yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Two very different ends of the annoying spectrum.
Yeah, like Donaldson's like very much, I hate you, Josh Donaldson, Banford of the week. IKF is more like an, I hate the front office for making IKF the guy in this position, Banford of the week.
Yeah, exactly.
He is the symbol, but he is not the cause.
Yeah, anyway. I will also, since I gave a honorable mention in the Yankee of the week, I'll give one at the in the Manfred of the week is the extremely low call strikes from the umpires.
Yeah, that's not helping things. I mean, yeah. It's not, again, it's not the reason, but it's not
helping. It's not the reason, but it's definitely not helping.
Yeah. Yeah. I can go into Giancarlo Stanton too. Like a 3-0 ball four turns into a strike. Then he strikes out and yeah, that's the end of the rally.
Yeah. Okay. I look forward to, I saw like an AFL highlight of Jason Dominguez challenging a strike call and actually winning it. And, being awarded a walk because of it, because I think it was like a 3-2 or something like that, and I wait for that day in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, let's hope it comes soon. All right, so we got to wrap up. You can follow us on Twitter at Pinstripe Alley. You can follow me on Twitter at Mearns PSA. What is your prediction for the NLCS?
Padres in 7.
All right, that's right. I think you did say that, but that's okay. We're repeating it. Padres in seven
twice.
Padres in 7 with Soto as the MVP is what you had, actually. So
yep.
And I had Padres in 5 with Yu Darvish as the MVP, but I don't think that's going to happen, especially because Yu Darvish got give up a couple home runs and give one. Oh, well.
Well, the series is at least going 5 at this
that's
point.
That's true. Maybe he throws like a no-hitter in the last game and then they win. So possible. Yeah. All right. So that'll do it for us. Let's go, Yankees. Hopefully we get to talk to you soon before the season ends. If not, we will talk to you afterward. But let's go, Yankees. Keep the season alive.